Hello, everybody. Welcome back to DK After Dark, taking you behind the artists, how they paved their path, and helping you pave yours. Welcome back. This is going to be a little bit of a different episode. We had some scheduling conflicts, and there was nobody that actually ended up being able to be on the podcast this evening to be able to showcase them. So instead, I'm here showcasing myself, taking you behind me, and, you know, telling you a little bit about your MC, who I am, what I'm trying to accomplish, and how I got here. So, let's dive into it. But first, let's talk about DK After Dark. So, the reason why I made this podcast is my artist name is DK. I am an independent artist that is currently studying production, independent artistry, as well as general overall marketing of myself as an artist at the Musicians Institute in Hollywood, California. Sorry, I had to think about that for a second. But I'm going to be finishing up here shortly, and so I am kind of starting my path as a solo artist, trying to get my path jump-started, as well as help people along the way. Give you a little bit about the artist's tips, tricks, you know, what they're doing, how you can get your stuff out there, and just kind of, even more than that, take you behind who these artists are as people, allow you a glimpse into something that necessarily you might not be able to see on, you know, a daily basis. You might not be able to, you know, a lot of artists I know do write into their music how they're feeling. I know personally that, you know, I do that, and you can let me know kind of what your guys' writing styles are as well in the comments, either on YouTube, if you want to leave a rating, you know, 5 stars. Obviously, if you don't like it, 5 stars, you can leave another rating, but if you want to leave a comment on Spotify as well, I'll be checking those and, you know, maybe even doing some shout-outs of people that I'm kind of seeing along the way and that I see are, you know, coming back over and over and over again, and eventually, you know, we can go up together, we can be part of the process of allowing us fellow independent artists to succeed and helping pave the way for other people. So, in episode 1, we had Gabby Sophia on. We talked a little bit about how she had her viral success on TikTok, how she went through the process of, you know, trying to make that happen. The actual making of the viral sensation that was Fairy Tales, and, you know, told a little bit about herself, how she was going from, you know, being here in North Dakota, going to college here, then down in Denver, you know, working in the music business, working in production, and kind of just letting her talk a little bit about what she's been up to. And if you missed that, go check her out in episode 1. She's also got some other music out, like Fairy Tales as well. And gosh, everything eludes me right when I'm thinking about it. But I will leave some links in the description of this one, and you can go check her out. Episode 2, we talked with my good friend Emily Griffin, who comes from Virginia Beach. And she told us a little bit about how she has been working on a whole EP release in a waterfall style that's going to be going over her journey, how she got to where she is now, and kind of letting you, you know, into a little bit of her backstory and trying to help other people that are currently dealing with the same issues. I don't want to give it all away. If you want to check that out, you can go back to episode 2, but that was definitely a really nice episode. We talked a little bit about some struggles with mental health, what that means for being an independent artist, holding yourself accountable, and trying to make sure that you're staying on track and making sure that you're making a little bit of progress every single day. Episode 3, we had another great guest on. We had Nomad from Virginia, Maryland area. He told us a little bit, once again, about his backstory, kind of how he started producing beats when he was younger, and then has been experimenting and growing as an artist, trying to grow his production, both for other people, as well as his production for himself, and his artistry and writing, and everything else. So, you know, he talked about his a little bit about his songwriting process, how he goes about in creation of his beats, and how, you know, you can maybe start to feel out how to make some beats of your own, and how you can start to put together your own either song or even just start writing lyrics and try and pitching them something else. But just giving you a little bit of that insight. That is in episode 3. Go check that out. We then had Swift on. We talked a little bit about how his journey has, you know, been kind of starting. It started with him as a group, with a couple other people, and then eventually led to him going on his own path and, you know, trying to build up his own artistry. It has gone into him now experimenting with his voice, kind of maturing in his artistry, as well as maturing emotionally and allowing other people to kind of glimpse into a little bit of himself and, you know, what that has meant for his growth. In our 5th episode that just came out last week, we had SPG the General. He is another local Bismarck artist. Oh, sorry, I forgot to mention that Swift is a Bismarck artist as well. And he told us a little bit about some new projects that he's worked on. And he really delved into the psychology of why he does what he does and what that means to spread your message and to allow other people to relate to you on a way that, you know, we don't get to relate every single day. And making sure that not a single person is left behind, left out, or felt like they're alone. He truly was an astounding person, great to talk to. That was a great episode. If you missed that one, go check that out. That is episode number 5. And that wraps up a little bit, or not a little bit, that wraps up everything about that we've gone over so far in DK After Dark as far as the episodes guest-wise are concerned, everything that's come up. So now, it's a little bit to dive into, I guess, my backstory. So I am DK, like I had mentioned earlier at the beginning of the episode. Obviously, I'm the MC of DK After Dark. Like I kind of had mentioned earlier, I made this to showcase independent artists because I currently am on the path of an independent artist myself. And a little bit about myself is that I've actually kind of been involved and a lot of music throughout my entire life. I have a pretty musical family. One of my uncles actually is a country singer, and locally, as well as kind of everyone else other than that has, you know, been involved in music in some way, whether it's playing guitar or just singing in general. So I kind of grew up all around that. And my entire life, I think I had told myself, you know, that truly that's kind of what I had wanted to do. But unfortunately, and this kind of will be portrayed in my songs and things like that, but I necessarily, just because of like the situation in my childhood, did not feel like I had the ability to walk my own path, pave my own path, which is why it's so important to me to be able to spread the message of being able to be your own person, making your own way and allowing you to be truly happy. Because for a long time I was on a path where I was going to be, you know, something career-wise that, you know, maybe I was interested in, but truly it wasn't for me. It wasn't what I wanted to do with my life, and I would have definitely been miserable off if I had continued kind of down that path. But, you know, here we are now. We are slowly making, you know, strides to realize my dream every single day. And so basically, from kind of during that time, I ended up going to a college for a couple of years, and I was doing some like classical music training, and I mean, it was a okay experience. I don't want to bash the school too hard yet, but you know, I made some good friends there that I wouldn't regret, the people that I met for the most part, the people that I still am in contact with, I don't regret meeting. Everyone else can honestly, whatever. They were not that great of people. It's fine. Everyone has, you know, their own quirks, nature, everything like that, and you can't control it, and you just have to roll with it. So I spent 2 years there. I really wasn't satisfied with kind of what I was getting out of it. I was, you know, doing a lot of, like, operatic singing and stuff, and it's not something really, I don't want to diss opera singers if that's what you want to do, that's great. But personally, you know, that's not something that I was ever really interested in or really saw myself doing. I had always wanted to be able to have my own voice and make sure that I was, you know, the one that was in control of kind of what I was doing and actually be making the music rather than just singing someone else's. So I spent a couple of years there. I, you know, go through, I wouldn't say a midlife crisis, because obviously I hope this isn't my midlife, but, you know, went through a little crisis of like, holy shit, I graduate in a couple years here. I'm not sure necessarily what I'm going to do with this, because it's not really training me to do what I want to do. It's not really allowing me the ability to express myself in the way that I want, to allow me to put together my own songs, create everything from scratch, produce it, mix, master, release it. And so I decided to make a change, and that's how I ended up at the Musicians Institute, like I was talking about in the beginning. And so now, for the past, you know, kind of school year, I have been working on my artistry in terms of songwriting, production, you know, building, and I have just been trying to build up my arsenal and slowly collecting my catalog and building that up to prepare for releasing at the end of this month a single and start dropping here every single month is what I'm aiming for. So stay tuned. I'm going to have a little bit. My first single that's going to be coming out is going to be Drowning, which is going to be talking a little bit, kind of what I talked about earlier, about my life experience, just feeling like necessarily like my life wasn't my own, and trying to live in ways that other people had told me, and how I'd kind of realized that, you know, that maybe necessarily this isn't the way to exist, this isn't the way to make yourself happy, and that sometimes you need to make those hard choices and decide for yourself what you want to do. So, kind of talking now, moving past the little backstory section, that's kind of a little bit about me, a little bit of my backstory. Like I said, aiming for an end of August release here for my first single, Drowning, that's going to be coming out. And I'm looking real forward to that. There's going to be a music video that's going to be covering that. That's going to be on the same YouTube channel that you're listening to this right now, if you're listening on YouTube. If you're not on YouTube, that is going to be at DK Official. Pretty positive on that. And, you know, that's where all my content is going to be hosted at. DK After Dark is on there. That is where, if I have anything else that's, you know, like, I don't know, interview-wise or something like that, that is where that will be posted. And so you can stay tuned on that one. I'm also trying to get better at posting on Instagram to keep you all updated on everything that's going on. And so you can check that out. That's at the official DK, or not the official, but official DK. And otherwise, yeah, so now kind of talking a little bit about how you can maybe start to, you know, start putting together your own things, and how I kind of started to grow myself in terms of lyric writing or in terms of building tracks and building arrangements and things like that. So I like to think of every single song in a little bit of a different way. I think that a lot of people kind of do that. I mean, you've heard over the past couple episodes how everyone has, you know, approach that maybe they start with, but, you know, it's not the same thing that's going to happen every single time. For me, I mostly start with my lyrics, and that can be through, you know, a multitude of different things. You know, sometimes I start with just writing words down, or a title pops into my head. And then once I have the title, I will maybe just suddenly hear like a chorus or something that goes along with that title. Because once you have the title, you just have to figure out the story that you're trying to tell and have it relate to that, unless you want to do something abstract. And obviously that's okay too, but you still have to tie it in some way. You know, whether that's through, I don't know, some imagery in your music video or something like that, or just lyrics, like, you know, like I was talking about. And then once, you know, I start to kind of hear the lyrics and kind of hear the cadence of what I'm going for and things like that. Because what I notice is, for me, it's all about finding first the rhythm of what's being said. Because if you just start, like if you just have a couple words, I usually am not able to kind of just find, you know, what necessarily I want the genre to be, what I want the, you know, the drums to be, what I want the kick to be doing, what I want the bass, guitar, bass, you know, acoustic, what I want that to be doing. Or if there's, you know, let's say a trumpet or something, I'm not going to be able to hear what I want going on unless I do, you know, have that kind of cadence that's going on. And obviously you don't have to do that. That's just kind of like what I like to start with. But I find generally that when I do this, there's a couple of things that come up where you'll just have to kind of go back, rework the lines a little bit, but, you know, you'll realize kind of like what that beat is, and everything starts to lock in place, rhythm-wise. So once you kind of start feeling what, you know, that rhythm is going to be, how it's kind of like feeling, if it's going to be swung, if you're going to be, you know, like going fast, if you're going slow, if it's going to be a mix where you're kind of pushing and pulling on it, or maybe it doesn't really have necessarily a solid rhythm. But all you have to do, once you have that, is kind of start thinking, what, you know, genres do I want this maybe to fall into? You don't have to pick one. You don't have to let yourself be defined. One thing that, you know, I've been told throughout my music school is, you know, you have to kind of find whatever, you know, category and kind of aim for that. And, you know, that's a good way of definitely doing things. I don't disagree that, you know, you definitely should know kind of where you're marketing towards and like what you're aiming towards, but I don't think necessarily that you have to stay in one thing. You can experiment and, you know, play around. You know, maybe you will have, you know, a different kind of audience every single time that you are releasing something, but that's okay too. I mean, personally, I think I have an overall arching style that's kind of like present in everything, even if it is like different styles of genres. So, you know, once you start kind of locking down what you want that to be, don't let yourself label yourself. Like, other people can put the labels on you. Just make what you want to make, do what you want to do, and let everybody else put the labels on you. And if you are actually doing, you know, what you want to do and making a good product and making sure that you're consistent and everything that you're doing, then you will have people that are coming back consistently for you. But kind of going back to what we were talking about with locking down the genre, once you do that, you can kind of start thinking about, you know, what you want to do for the other instruments. So you kind of have like a basic idea of what the beat is. You don't maybe necessarily don't have a lockdown, but you know the cadence. So you can start figuring that out with where you want your bass, your snares to go. And then once you have that, like I said, you can start adding in other instruments. So for me, once I kind of am picking on the genre, I mean, I also like to blend genres as well, and you can do that too. But I start to kind of find like instruments that are fitting A, in with the genre of the, you know, kind of song that I'm making, and B, also fits the proper emotion and what I'm trying to convey, the message, basically, of the music. Because if you're not conveying that message properly, then why are you doing it? So you kind of just start to nail down things that are going to push it forward, and usually I kind of like to add in like a chordal instrument, kind of just something to have like a base of sound, so whether that's like a guitar, a piano, it can be some sort of synth, something like that, a pad where you can have just like drones and like low drones or something like that. And that just kind of, I feel, keeps the structure, keeps The sound moving, even if there's not necessarily going on, you have that constant bass. I start kind of with that chordal instrument, and then I start to add in with instruments that fill out the space of the song that I feel is lacking in areas. And what I mean by that is, if I feel like there's not enough low end to the song, well, then I'm going to add in some sort of bass instrument. And like I said, it can be a synth. It can be a synth. It can be a acoustic bass. It can be an electric, or not an electric guitar. I mean, unless you want to put it down in that octave, that's fine. But an electric bass, you know, any sort of bass instrument, you know, something that is just filling out that low range. If I feel like I'm missing something in the mid, okay, well, I probably need, you know, maybe some sort of melodic instrument, and maybe I need to write a melody line, as well as, like, when I'm putting in the bass instrument, have a bass line that it's following and not just doing chords, obviously. And you can derive that bass line from the chords, like, obviously. You don't have to, you know, start over. That's what the chords are there for, is to give you that basis and allow you to draw from it. You can make your bass line. Oh my gosh, excuse me, I'm just yawning and everything today. So you make that bass line, you make a little melody line if you feel like you, like I said, need to fill out that mid-range, or if you need to fill out a high range, you know, you can do another, maybe a melody up there, or a counter melody, or maybe just some, like, hits of notes or something. Pretty much, that part is up to you. There is really nobody necessarily who can tell you exactly what to do, the formula for that, you know, what exact instruments you're going to need to add in every time. That's the artistry. That's what you have to decide for yourself, is kind of what you're doing. Someone maybe can give you inputs on what they think might sound good, or maybe give you suggestions on where you can flush out that sound. And those are really good things. But in the end, you are the ultimate decider. You are the cook in the kitchen, and you have to be able to, you know, make decisions of what you're doing and why you're doing it, and making sure that you're doing it for the right reasons. And so that's kind of like the process of, I guess, for me, making kind of like the beat and lyrics so far. So like, in terms of my lyric writing, what I tend to go back to is my choruses. I try to make them kind of catchy and memorable, but still make sure that I'm conveying basically the overall message of the song. It's like kind of like a summary for me, to make sure that everybody is getting, you know, the pieces that they need to understand, and making sure that maybe necessarily that if you're not relating 100% to, like, what the verses are saying, or, you know, like I said, like, relating exactly to what that's saying, that you can still relate to the overall message of, you know, the song. And because obviously every single person's experience is different, but that doesn't mean that the overall experience is different in general. It's just how it happens that may be different. So I really just try to advance the story and make sure that I'm giving the details of everything throughout the verses. And I think that's, like, I mean, that's what I've been told throughout my entire kind of career at my new school, kind of like in even studying other people's music as well. And I think that's just overall the thing, obviously, is the verses are to advance the story. Make sure that you're pushing it forward. And, you know, if you're having issues kind of coming up with ideas, think about how you would feel in the moment, and think about mostly not trying to tell the person so much, but make them actually feel like they're there. Put them, whether you're if you're talking about it in first person, you need to describe, you know, I'm looking through this, I'm feeling this, blah 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 blah, whatever you're doing, or they're feeling, or we're feeling, or anything like that. But you just have to make sure you're keeping everything consistent, and that you are not telling them, but allowing them to feel it, allowing them to relate, and not just giving it all to them. Because if you give it all to them, then there's no nuance for interpretation and making it applicable to their own life. So kind of what I like to do to help with, you know, coming up with helping write maybe the same thing over or helping, you know, translate my thoughts out is I like to keep a journal every single day, kind of just talk about a little bit about my day, you know, just journal about it. And it doesn't matter if you had the most mundane day ever. All that matters is that you're getting there and you're writing down what you did and you're trying to make it as interesting as possible, because that's literally what lyric writing is in the end, is you're trying to make everything as interesting as possible. And even if you're saying the same thing over and over again, there's different ways that you can describe the same thing, and that's what you start to realize as, you know, you can, as you start to, you know, maybe keep a journal for yourself and start actually, you know, writing every single day, practicing it. Because songwriting, it's like a muscle. The more you are practicing it, the more you're doing it, the better you will become at it. So that's a little bit kind of about my songwriting process. So once I have my arrangement together, kind of using the process we talked about, and then I have my actual lyrics written, it's all about putting it together and kind of post-production stuff. So in the end, production-wise, what you're doing basically is adding in the effects, really making it to come to life through reverb, delay, EQs, other, you know, interesting effects, whether that's like distortion, you're using a phaser, you're using a modulator, you're using auto-tune to clean up vocals or stuff like that. And I'm going to tell you, if you think that using auto-tune is cheating, it is not cheating. A lot of people use auto-tune, not even necessarily just to fully sing, but just to slightly correct it, because maybe they're slightly off, or maybe they're like going way off here, they just need to slightly bring it down or something like that. It's okay. It's really hard, even as a trained singer, to sing 100% on, making no mistakes, no pitch variation, anything like that. So don't think of using things like that as cheating. They're tools that, when used properly, are there to assist you in making the best product possible. And that's just the way I think that it should be looked at, rather than, you know, a punishing thing that like, oh, you did this, I can't believe that, like, you're less of something or blah, 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 blah. Like, as long as you're transparent, you're not lying if people are asking about it. And I don't see a problem necessarily with, you know, helping yourself out and not having to record it 80 million times. Like, that's why we have these tools, is to be able to do that. So when I get into the post-production, a lot of time is kind of spent on my vocals, making sure that they're polished in terms of pitch, in terms of the timing of on the actual beats, because even when recording, sometimes, you know, I have got it planned out in my head, but when I'm recording, I might be slightly off here or slightly off here. And we have tools that can either, you know, move it and help us put it more on the beat, or we can just obviously re-record it if we don't necessarily like the way that it sounds in doing that. In my experience, as long as you're not like trying to move something that's like very clearly off, like if it's only like, you know, a 16th to an 8th note, maybe a beat off, then you can kind of, you know, finagle it or something like that. But anything other than that, I think you just have to pre-record it, because it does some, or re-record it, sorry, not pre-record it, because it does some weird, you know, like audio speeding up and stuff like that, just to make it actually fit in there. So a lot of time also spent on making sure that the EQ is correct, making sure that it's not too boomy, making sure that, you're hearing the sibilance in my voice through the use of high EQ bands, like a high shelf, making sure that I have a high pass filter on, you know, in the lower end to kind of get rid of the boominess in the sound, but making sure that, and also maybe do some trimming with bell curves. So it's really about kind of what your voice is doing, what you're hearing, where the problem areas are. Like I said, I usually just bump up my top end a little bit with a high shelf, and I just put a high pass on the lower side, at, you know, maybe like 340, a little bit higher sometimes. And I just, you know, kind of see what sounds good. That's where I'll add on either delay, reverb, or maybe both, depending on kind of what I'm doing. There's delays like slapback delays where it's a little bit of a shorter delay, comes right after. It kind of gives it like that effect that like there's almost another person there, even when there isn't. It gives a little bit more juice without giving it some reverb and making it sound super echoey. So these are just some, you know, tips that you can try on some of your own projects, some things that you can try out to make it sound a little more live and things like that. I would say that vocal production takes the most time in the production process for sure. And that's okay because vocals are upright and center. You know, that's what everyone's going to hear. And I think that's okay that they're taking that much time. Otherwise, I start then to kind of move into, you know, the drum kit, making sure that everything's panned correctly and making sure that everything is kind of balanced, that I'm getting the things that I want to hear out of it. I'll also do EQs, compression on that. Also, compression on the vocals, very important. It basically will remove the dynamic contrast between the highs and lows. And so it'll kind of bring the lows up and the highs down, if that makes sense. But it'll make it sound more clear and concise, like you're actually, you know. It's honestly just really hard to explain unless you kind of hear it. But it just makes everything sound very crisp and like you can hear everything. Otherwise, then, like I said, I'll add on compression, EQ to the drum, stuff like that. You know, maybe put it in every instrument in a room, kind of echo to make it sound, or not echo, a reverb to make it kind of sound like they're all in the same place. And other than that, I kind of then will add on, you know, EQ where I think it's necessary, maybe change a little bit, like with the effects, maybe add in phaser, distortion, something like that. It really just depends kind of at this point what you want to do. Like I said, it's all about the effects that you want to add and kind of the sound that you're going for. It's pretty subjective. As long as, you know, you're not making a few crucial mistakes where, you know, you're having things that are, you know, very clearly wrong, or you're having like a ringing sound. That's not something that's necessarily a mistake unless it's, you know, maybe like an artistic ring that you personally added in there or something. I don't know, but that'd be a weird case scenario. But then you kind of get, after that, after you're done with the production phase, you kind of get into the mixing stage of making sure all the instruments are properly balanced, making sure you'll do some automation, and that's basically moving up different parameters, whether that's volume and stuff, to properly balance everything and make sure that it's all sounding good throughout it, because, you know, obviously things will change through the vocals and stuff like that, so maybe we have the lower raised volume as kind of the song goes on. And that's the steps that you'll start to do that. And pretty much once you are done with the mixing and things like that, that is the end of the production kind of stage, and you move into the mastering, where you'll add in kind of, the best way I can describe it is you're adding in the little finishing touches to make sure that the audience is hearing the songs and hearing what you're doing in the way that you want them to actually hear, and making sure, oh, maybe it needs a little top end overall so you can add a little bit on the top, or maybe it needs to get rid of this boominess in the bottom, get rid of that. But it's not changing, you know, minute or every single instrument differently. This is like the overall finished mix you are doing this to. So then after the mastering, that's when you are ready for the release. And we have kind of talked about this before, but we basically, there's a couple different, you know, services that you can use, whether that's DistroKid, whether that's TuneCore, CD Baby. I personally use DistroKid, but you basically will upload it on there, choose when you want it to release, as long as it's not, you know, they need a lead time. I think it's like 4-6 weeks. And then you can decide to release it whenever you want. Obviously, the mastering is the last step. So once you get to that, you hope you're done. If not, you go back to the production process and you do something else. And pretty much that's the rinse and repeat of kind of my process in general, from moving to the beginning of a song or project to the end. and kind of like how I go about that. And, you know, there's obviously different ways. Like, I won't obviously every single time start with the lyrics like I had said this time. Maybe I hear a cool piano. Maybe I'm just, like, browsing and I hear a cool piano sound. And now I hear this piano sound and I've got a chord that pops into my head. And so I sit there and I'm just playing this chord over and over. And then I suddenly start to get an idea. And then, okay, I'm like, I need to record this. So now I'm making just the beat here. And, you know, maybe once I start making that, then I start to hear, okay, I'm hearing some lyrics over this. I'm hearing this, this, and this, and this. That's fitting in. It's telling the message that I'm trying to portray through what I have put on here before, you know, like I even got the words. And that's okay, too. There's nothing wrong with that, like I said. So it's really all about the process that you want to take yourself, kind of who you are as an artist, and, you know, what you like to do. Personally, like I said, I like to write lyrics, and I write lyrics a lot, so that's usually where I start at. But otherwise, I think that today, this is going to be the end of the episode. A little bit of a shorter episode, just because it is just me today, so there's not as much necessarily to talk about. And I don't want to give away everything on myself, because obviously, I have a lot more to tell you guys down the road. I'm kind of just waiting to actually have a partner on here to do an interview with me as well. So it's not just, you know, you don't have to just listen to me talk the entire time. I don't want to listen to myself talk the entire time. I hope you guys do. I hope you guys enjoy this solo episode. I do want to do some more solo episodes, you know, usually around this 30 to 45-ish minute mark. Kind of like I like to keep it in there for doing just me, just to give you a little bit of updates on myself, everything that's going on, and tell you about my own path and kind of how I am paving it and how I am also trying to come up as well as these other artists that I am showcasing. And so I think that the last piece of wisdom that I would like to leave everybody with today is that the most important thing is making sure that you are doing something that truly, truly makes you happy and is meaningful to yourself, and you're not living based on other people's standards or what they've defined you as or what they expect you to be. Because if you live that way, you will never, ever truly be happy, and it's worth taking the risk to try and become something that's closer to what you want to do, rather than, like I said, kind of just falling into the path that everyone else is going on and just taking maybe the easy money or the easy way out of it. So that is it for today's episode of DK After Dark. Thank you once again for tuning in. This has been episode number 6, taking a little bit behind myself. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode, where we talk about how these artists pave their path and how they can help you pave yours. Thank you for watching. Goodbye.